It's a great pleasure to welcome into Static on 2SER this evening, Adam and Evan from Gold Class. Blokes, how's things?
Good.
Very well.
Thank you.
Got a drum to release this week. It's exciting to have album number two.
It is. Yeah. It feels like it's been a long time coming, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. It's exciting for people to hear it.
Yeah. And doing it by returning to Volumes in Sydney is kind of a homecoming of sorts for you because you played there 2 years ago right before It's You came out.
Yeah, which I didn't realise until this week. Was it the first time that we played in Sydney?
No, I think the first time we played at Blackwire.
Oh, right,
yeah,
of course.
But that was maybe even the second time, and that was a really good way to do it, actually, because it was, you know, a heap of great stuff to go and see, and then we got to play a show as well.
Yeah, although John, who plays bass, had broken his leg about 3 days before that show, so drove up with his girlfriend and then met us at the venue, and it was, kind of a nightmare.
yeah, just him trying to get up the stairs even was just, you
sort
know,
of dragging around. And
poor guy, actually. So, you know, I'm sure he doesn't remember it as fondly, but yeah.
I don't know if there's been any broken bones in the intervening years, but a lot's happened for Gold Class since that first record came out. And it actually looks from the outside like you guys haven't taken much of a break.
Not really. We didn't play many shows like this first half of this year, but we were writing and recording in that time, so...
It's been good to sort of barrack on from the sidelines and watch the international tours happen, and then, you know, there's been split singles and remixes and all sorts of things, so it's not like you downed tools much at any time.
No, we haven't really. We might have to at the end of this year at some point.
Well, we'll need a break eventually. Can't keep up this rate forever, but yeah.
And Adam, it seemed from day one that there was a bit of a mission and aesthetic about Gold Class. Had you guys thought the band through before you set out?
Really not. And I think that it might have just been a case of the fact that Evan and John and I were all working in the same bar together and probably listening to a lot of the same kind of music and talking about music a lot.
Dressing
yeah. Just, I mean, we've always dressed the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Just with absolutely no thought put into it at all.
Yeah.
No, it was really just a case at the beginning of getting together in a room and seeing what happened and kind of seeing if we enjoyed writing songs together, but actually really wanting to write the songs together as opposed to one person writing the songs and bringing them to everyone else.
I think, you know, wanting to create something that had a level of intensity to it as well. It wasn't ever going to be a relaxed sort of a sound that we were producing. But, you know, we only figured that out once we'd all got together and started, you know, making some noise.
But actually there was only, we only wrote two songs and then everything else was on that record. But that was the point too.
Yeah.
We got to a point where it's like we had 10 songs we wanted to record and that was an album, you know.
Was that the same again for drum or was there a lot more discarded along the wayside?
No, we haven't discarded anything.
I wish we had that luxury. That would be incredible.
Really? Yeah, were you scraping things together at the last minute?
Definitely not. We're just not the kind of band that finishes a song unless everyone's into the idea. I guess because we write the songs together, it means that everyone has to sort of commit to the song for it to be finished. You know, it's like if someone has an idea and someone's not into it, then we figure that out before the song gets
there. What's the tactic, Evan? Do you go for like a long break and never come back when you're working on a song you don't like?
Until I get my way. No.
Everyone just sits really awkwardly.
Exactly.
In silence,
it's just like, okay, then,
I would hope there's no other way in Gold Class apart from sitting in the corner and pouting.
I'd love to say that's not true, but it's fairly true.
So bringing in Gareth Lydiard to work on drum, was he a good referee then? Did he have to break up any fights over songs, or was it a bit of a smooth process having him as producer?
I think it was really smooth, I think the majority of things were written by the time we brought them to him, so he was just more or less bringing ideas tonically to the table rather than really getting into the nuts and bolts of how the songs work. And just having him around was just sort of having that fresh set of ears and a new set of ideas and a big tool chest of things to throw at the songs as they were. Yeah.
I think we knew from, particularly from recording It's You, that we could record the songs live and just get things down. And we knew that we had the songs there. And so I guess working with Gaz was more about like having someone push things sonically or, you know, have a few ideas about pedals or phrasings or just kind of.
He seems to me to be someone that will probably bring out both the brutality and tenderness of Gold Class songs too.
Yeah, and he's a really like good influence in that sense. I think everyone felt really comfortable exploring ideas with him, which can be kind of intimidating, I guess, when you're in the studio. And we haven't spent a huge amount of time in studios before. You know, you've got like 5 days or 7 days or whatever to get a record done. It is a slightly intimidating experience. So it was actually immediately a comfortable experience with him.
And yeah, it was a good balance between, you know, that stress of knowing that you've got a deadline, but also feeling like we're not so pressured for time that we can't try different things out. It was, yeah. And he was, you know, brought that willingness up front from the beginning.
Yeah.
There's a few more tricks on drum as well. I mean, there's the sort of atmosphere and field recording noise in the outro of Bully.
Yeah, that outro is actually, we recorded that at Gaz's house, Evan and I and Gaz, together sort of after we did the initial week of recording like the bulk of the songs. We sort of went to his house in Ngambi. He's got a big farm. We just put down some extra guitar stuff and some synths and...
Yeah, just made some cool noises and kind of edited it.
There's a sample in that outro, which is actually from him recording the sound from inside the plane. I think he was on the way to Brazil or something. So you can just hear like the engine kind of shuddering and someone pressing like the attendant call button.
Yeah, yeah, seatbelt sign coming.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of just playing around with stuff.
The Gareth really Lydiard noises.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, I just recorded it on my phone. It's like, oh yeah, sure you did. Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Did he also champion the couple of introspective songs on this record? On the first one, you had the piano closer, Shingles, but on this record, there's both Trouble Fun, which sort of narrates a tale of a night out, I guess, and also Mercurian, which is a pretty raw sort of song for Gold Class, Adam.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't ever think of Trouble Fun as being one of the softer songs. I guess it is in a way. I don't know. Is it?
You know,
it's actually quite hard to sing it live, so it's, yeah, I right. don't ever sure. think of it as being like a relaxing song to play. Mercurian, definitely, but I think that was part of just wanting to have a few different shades or tones or whatever to the record and having a little interlude to break things up, to add a bit of atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it was intended as initially just a little break between songs and then turned into a song in its own right, which I think is, you know, really nice to have it.
I think so now too, and when we were writing it, I kept on being like, no, it's too long and it sounds too much like a song, it's just meant to be an interlude. But actually now it's one of my favourite things.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. It's just, you know, it's this really cool little kind of mush of different sounds and different vocal effects and stuff, and that was a lot of fun to make. Actually, it's one of my favorite things.
The other good knock-on effect after getting Drum Out is that you guys are going back to Europe as well, doing some more overseas touring. So what's that been like for Gold Class heading over there? I mean, is playing moody post-punk in the UK like selling, you know, ice to Eskimos sometimes? Do people think you're from Manchester?
Sometimes.
I mean, some kids in Melbourne the other day thought we were from Manchester.
From somewhere in England. We do get that a little bit.
Like, do you come out here much? Like,
fair bit. No, it's been good over there on the whole. I mean, it's been a build. Like any band, I guess, you kind of go somewhere, they don't know who you are. It's not like we're released on any big labels or anything over there, you know, or get any major like radio play. Or it's just been a case of like going over and playing shows and building it fairly naturally that way. But yeah, I mean, God, they treat you so well in Europe, you know.
Get fed like, at venues, don't you?
You get fed, you get booze, you get accommodation sometimes. There's people turn up to see you play.
Yeah, it's a treat. It's like, and I mean, we've got it pretty good here, but, you know, you go over there and it's just like, oh, right, you know, that's how you look after art, I guess. Yeah.
Little to no pouting from you guys when you go to Europe, they don't
know. Well,
you know, you find reasons to pout. You've got to stay moody, right?
And do people dance at the shows as well? I mean, that's an interesting thing about Gold Class gigs. I mean, the album's called Drum, which obviously has so many meanings behind it, but it is fascinating when I see people sort of flailing around at your shows.
It depends where we are. In Melbourne, people don't really dance at our shows that much. They're starting to a bit more.
Yeah.
In Sydney, they kind of have always a little bit.
Brisbane was a nice surprise.
Brisbane. Brisbane lives up to its reputation for people actually going crazy. But yeah, overseas is the same. It's like Paris, people get really into it, but also just kind of stare at you really intensely. Barcelona was like a really big surprise of like people going crazy at the front. I feel like it just sort of depends on where you are. We definitely get our fair share of audiences just kind of staring and you can't really tell whether they're into it or not until the very end of the song.
As long as people aren't checking their watches, it's all right. Yeah. You know?
No, well, that's the thing. And then at the end, everyone's like, yeah, that was great.
That was fantastic.
It's like, oh, yeah, right. You were just staring at us really intensely. Like, that's cool. That's, whatever. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, here's hoping less staring intently and more dancing at volumes on Saturday then. It's great to have this album coming out this week, you guys.
Thank you.
We might have a listen to We Were Never Too Much off of Drum right now.
Great.
Thank you for the talk, Evan and Adam. This is Gold Class on Static. Look after yourselves in Europe. Don't pout.
Thanks.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.